live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made. I'm grateful to have another day to attempt to better myself and attempt to be part of, I guess, building the kingdom is what I want to do. We here also have the opportunity to be grounded in truth. There is this unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable. In fact, it's not. In fact, some people have been saying, in fact, this host and our community of listeners have been saying for months they will go back to lockdowns. It was self-evident that this is the plan. There must be the height of discomfort at the election time. If you ever hear anyone in media, in news programming, screaming about cases, 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 ignore it. Cases are irrelevant. If you ever hear anyone in media screaming about positivity rates, ignore it. It's irrelevant. None of this is reality. Cases used to mean something medically. It used to mean that someone was sick. Post-COVID, it means that they have found a tiny little shred of viral material, just a piece of a molecule, in someone's body. 90% of the time, that's what it means. Okay? When people are sick, the infection fatality rate is 0.0013%. So when you hear anyone in news programming, anytime you see an article, anytime you hear someone in news programming, you see someone in news programming, you hear someone in government or a so-called public health official say cases, 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 replace that in your mind with nothing, nothing, nothing. If they talk about positivity rates, hear in that herd immunity, herd immunity, herd immunity. Replace those phrases. If they're going to talk about deaths and they don't talk about the age, the average age of the people who are dying or their previous health conditions, hear in that nature, nature, nature. It is sad when elderly people die. I don't want my mom to die. And she will. And you will. And I will. And when you're above the age of 80, you have an 8.9% chance of dying every year from anything, which is a greater. You have a chance of dying from most of the things is greater than the COVID. So please remember that. Cases, cases, cases. Hear nothing, nothing, nothing. Positivity rate, positivity rate, positivity rate. Hear herd immunity. So start talking about deaths without telling you the age of the people or the comorbid conditions, their state of health before that, then hear nature, nature, nature. Ground ourselves in facts so we can ground our neighbors in facts, because the COVID is the election. We said it months and months and months ago. And we have a ton of COVID news coming up. The West Coast is a steaming experimental bowl of one-party rule and Marxism and domestic terrorism. And I've been saying for months, well, I've been saying since the attack on Seattle that established Antifa-stan, which Mayor Jenny called the Summer of Love. Jay Inslee pretended he was unaware of, or perhaps was unaware of. I'm betting on was unaware of. He's Jay Inslee, so-called governor of Washington State. I keep saying it's Maoism, and I keep pointing to signs that it's Maoism, such as the PR campaign from the domestic terrorists in Seattle.
We have demands, and they need to be met. And I feel like I've been saying this too much.
Fire, 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 fire.
No justice.
Literally
We're not asking you anything. We're telling you what's about to happen with your permission or not.
Some of the voices of some of the Maoists, people who don't know that they're Maoists, I'm betting on that. They don't never studied Maoism. Being told that the United States is irreparably racist, that the reason you don't have what you want is that you are, it's been taken from you by people you've never met. Facts, I mean, in some cases, it's not even taken. One of the chief organizers, and Ari Hoffman tracked this down, our friend Ari does a podcast, Canary in the Coal Mine, tracked this down, that one of the leaders, organizers of the Black Lives Matter Incorporated terrorist group in the Pacific Northwest, is a young woman who is the daughter of a mixed race couple who happened to be a very wealthy couple and happened to be very well off. And she herself happens to have an entrepreneurial side, has a business in this great racist country that is irreparably racist, or as the race hustlers at King 5 News call it. They call it's racism is baked into the American pie. That's news. That's communicated as news. So you can see why the Northwest and Portland, which is owned by Antifa in California, not yet quite owned by Antifa, but owned by the left. You can see why for folks who listen around the country on podcast. Now, do you see why I'm saying get on your school boards, get in your city council, be on your zoning commissions, give no ground on anything to the left? Years ago, there was this decision, three very cowardly so-called Republican office holders said, on this so-called transgender locker room thing, people just need a place to pee. That's what they said. I'm quoting them. Well, we've seen what's happened with Planned Parenthood in the schools and the WHO demanding that kids be chemically and surgically altered. There's always an ulterior motive, just like there is with Black Lives Matter Incorporated and Antifa. And we'll get to some black people because we're continuing to look at and find black people who are saying, hey, this movement's not helping black people. This is taking black lives. What are you doing? The Antifa Black Lives Matter terrorist Black Block, which is these are the little street soldiers. Does everybody understand? Now, when Black Bloc goes out and tries to kill cops, attacks buildings, mobilizes with legal, logistical support, sometimes they have drone support, they practice every single night attacking cops. You do understand that this is a confidence building technique, right? You understand this is a rehearsal, right? You understand that these young kids, these children in adult bodies, are getting desensitized to the fear of attacking cops. You get that, right? You understand that they're practicing teamwork, right? We're all clear on that, right? That this is being done in our cities, live time rehearsal for real attacks. We all get that, right? Oh, we don't? Well, that's what it is. Now, is it going to come to pass that they go through, actual conventional warfare in the streets? Already has. Louisville was literal conventional warfare in the streets. And the police departments around the country have been unbelievably patient in not participating in what they want. Kenosha, warfare in the streets. Political assassinations in the streets. A couple of them. So Antifa, BLM, the Black Bloc people, they're going on a PR campaign in Seattle. Andy Ngo pointed this out on Twitter. They say that revolutions are messy. So they went around posting posters to describe, why do you dress scary? Black Bloc or wearing black clothes that make it harder to identify people is a tactic that's been used for decades to protect against white supremacists trying to hurt people through legal or illegal means. Black pluck's only scary because the media tells you it is. In reality, listen to this part. In reality, black pluck will not hurt you unless you're trying to hurt or kidnap them. They will not hurt your windows unless you own a very large and or racist business. If you film their faces, they may either yell at you or engage you in polite but urgent conversation requesting you not to. If you need help, ask Black Bloc. If you want to help normalize Black Bloc, wear it in daily life. Have a conversation. Absolute propaganda. Absolute messaging. We won't hurt you unless we decide your business is too big. We'll make that decision unless we decide your business is racist. We'll make that decision. That's what we'll do. And if you're trying to kidnap us, then we'll hurt you. Because there's a lot of kidnappings. Very common. Of course, what they're referring to is the police trying to arrest them. Of course, there's no white supremacy from Antifa, except they're filled with white supremacists. If you take their language. If you hear them yelling at black cops, these white kids, we've played this in the air countless times. Young children in adult bodies, white young children in adult bodies, calling cops the N-word, making fun of their physical characteristics, black cops. That's the reality of these guys. So, it's always good to raise up community voices. One of the things we do here is we shed light on circumstances, and then we raise up voices of community. There are a lot of black people who are stepping to the fore to say, hey, these guys don't represent us, and they're costing black lives. You'll hear from such a woman in about 60 seconds right now. We'll check traffic with Right Way Traffic and get right back to the show. We have a collection. That sounds really, I could see that being a Mitt Romney thing. I've got a binder of women. We've been tracking and playing and amplifying the voices of black people who are saying Black Lives Matter does not stand for me. Sometimes it's long clips. Sometimes it's really short clips, and they get to the point. Beep, beep, beep. You don't represent us. Beep, beep, beep. You are harming people. Beep, beep, beep. You don't live here. We've gone through the audio, and maybe Alex, you can pull some of that. We've gone through the audio of the gentleman in Portland who gets out of his car and says, you don't live here. None of you live here. He's standing. Yeah. And by the way, this lady, she smacked one of the people. Don't go assaulting people, but I get it. We played the audio of the gentleman who got out of his car in Portland, a black man saying, none of you live here. Who lives here in this building? Who used to live here in this building? You know what's so interesting? I can't find this in the Seattle Media 5. I've searched and searched. I can't find the voices of black people in our community saying, I am not with Black Lives Matter. It's weird because we have probably 15 instances of this, and many of them have happened in Seattle or Portland on the West Coast. In fact, most of them have happened in Portland on the West Coast. We had the black man who was standing outside the Antifa riot in Portland saying, none of this is about black lives. Look behind me. Do you see any black people? What are they doing? They're tearing down someone's dwelling. They're attacking the police dwelling. Yes, they're going to defend themselves. And this man made this point as the black bloc terrorists stood around him. It's so fascinating that Twitter can surface these voices, that we can surface these voices, and yet somehow it doesn't make it into most national media. I've seen it on Fox. I've seen it there. I've seen it elsewhere. Why is that, I wonder? Is it because they don't have access to... You know what we need to do? We need to make sure that King 5 News and the Seattle Media 5 make them get signed up for the Twitters. Then they can find this stuff. President Trump is doing a very smart thing. He is showing the voices of black people who support his policies. They might not dig his personality. Rush yesterday did a long monologue on not digging the personality of the president. He and Rush are friends, so he knows a different side of Donald Trump than we do. But the president's Twitter channel is doing a very smart thing of amplifying these voices. And you know what's happening? Enthusiasm from black voters in Detroit and Chicago and New York. Enthusiasm for black voters for senile Joe Biden is bottoming out. There's a huge decrease in enthusiasm for black voters. A 5-point change in the votes of black people in this country is a sea change and a death knell for the leftist Democrat Party. And again, it's weird that we can find citizens, black people who are saying Black Lives Matter is the stand for me. And the president can find gentlemen like this. Rush Limbaugh tweeted this out. Fantastic message. And my good buddy Elton John playing in the background. That was from Rush, who retweeted the president.
I supported him in 2016. He made promises. He said to us, what have you got to lose? We have Hillary. Look at a track record, years in government. They've not offered anything. They've not done anything. This man came, is a businessman. He has a different mindset. I know people want him to be a politician. He's not. That's not what we need. We need someone that's actually run business, knows how to spend money. Most of these people have no idea how to create a job, and they are managing trillions of dollars. And I think people need to start thinking, how they make their own choices. You want somebody that knows how to handle money to help you run something. That's why Mr. Trump questioned everything that is put in front of
him. You see, this is so that the president is amplifying this at the same time as Twitter is playing games with how Twitter works. Twitter has changed how people retweet something. It used to be a simple click, retweet, yes, boom. Now they've changed that. Because what their goal is, and it's working, is to bring up Joe Biden's reach, drop the president's reach, and it's working. So they have to fight against that as well. Phenomenal. This is a black woman in her car yelling at BLM for setting fires in the streets. She says they killed her brother. Weird that we can find these voices. So strange that the Seattle Media 5 can't find these voices. So strange that so many of the national media simply can't find these voices.
There's nowhere to go.
Move. Get out of the way.
There's nowhere to go.
Because you killed my brother. Move.
Backwards. You're going to go.
Move. Get out of the way.
No.
This is a nonviolent protest.
Get out of the way.
People standing in the street.
You setting fires in the street? No, that's violent. Okay? That's violent. Get out of.
It is violence. Now, it's not violence to people, but it's communicating violence to people. This is a gentleman in Portland standing there as the terrorists are in action.
He threw a bomb in there. Trying to be cute like that, and when they come out and they're pissed, and then people will say, look, you see what they did? No, bro, they didn't do nothing. You're going in their dwelling. They're protecting their dwelling. This is bullshit. We got 2% black people out here, too. 2%. Two.
So, in the debates, since the debate commission has changed the rules at the last second, it's no longer going to be about foreign policy. It's going to be about the weather. It's going to be about issues like this. The president must take control of the debate, not with interruptions, with wisdom. To say on stage when they're talking about the weather, you know, sure. I mean, we could talk about the weather. We could talk about, you know, the climate's getting cooler in some places and warmer in others. And I wonder, what's right now more scary for black Americans? Is it that we have a vice president here who's saying, like, we don't want cops, has said that the cops have become the enemy, who refuses to criticize, and he needs to say, domestic terror groups who are taking black lives. He needs to say this. Speak these words. And the president is all over the debate commission, and he should be, because this should be about foreign policy. They won't do that, because then the discussion would turn to China and Hunter Biden.
Well, I think the whole thing is crazy. This commission, I had problems with them 4 years ago where they stifled out my mic during my conversation with Crooked Hillary. And, you know, they muted my mic. They did a whole thing. They did this to me already. They modulated it at the time. And they actually had to write me a letter of apology. And they did it on purpose. Look, these people are not good people, this commission. A lot of funny things go on with them. And frankly, Kristen Welker, who I know, and, you know, I just went through Savannah Guthrie. I knew what I was getting into, and it worked out fine. But she was out of line. She was totally out of line. And so was Chris Wallace. I know you'll defend him, but so was Chris Wallace. He was terrible. It was like 2-on-1, and that was just fine with me. But at least they should admit that it was 2-on-1. And the funny thing is, Biden doesn't even do a show.
Make the show, Mr. President, the debate, make it about foreign policy. You want to talk about global warming? Fantastic. Let's talk about China, and then let's talk about Hunter Biden. You want to talk about domestic issues? Great. Let's talk about the fentanyl being smuggled into our country, fentanyl that's made in China. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Obama administration allowing terrorists, Hamas and the Taliban, to smuggle drugs into our country across the southern border. Make it about Joe Biden and China and corruption and domestic terror. Don't allow them to control the debate topic. Debate is tomorrow night. Of course, we'll air that on KTTH. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. So many lies around the COVID. And yes, they're going back to the lockdowns, just like I said they would. That's next. Listening to the Todd Herman Show, the lies around the COVID flu are getting absolutely thick, like we knew they would, building up to the election. So we need to track these lies down, be grounded in facts, because this is simply not the language of truth. You're going to hear throughout the rest of this campaign season and this election season, you're going to hear cases, cases, cases. When you hear cases, replace that word with nothing, nothing, nothing. Cases mean nothing. If they talk about positivity rates, here, herd immunity, herd immunity, herd immunity. I'll explain why. Because in 90% of cases, 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 you're talking about people who have tiny little shreds, little minuscule shreds of one molecule or something of the virus. It can't make people sick. But it means that the people who have those shreds in their body are very likely immune to the virus. Okay, the very small number of cases, people got the virus twice, as in three in the United States of America, out of a country of 330 million people. If they talk about positivity rates, here, herd immunity, herd immunity, herd immunity. If they talk about deaths without mentioning the age of people who are dying, here, nature, nature, nature. Okay, because this is average age of death is 80, and the people who die from this are very, very sick. To begin with, largely 99% of the time. Also hear this. You're going to hear about ICU admissions. ICU admissions always go up at this time of year. Always. For respiratory illnesses. Particularly among elderly people. Always. And you know and I know, if an older person goes into the ICU for pneumonia, and God forbid contracts the COVID, and God forbid that older person dies, it's going to be reported as a death from the COVID, which it is not. It is a death with the COVID. This is going to be a massive rush of disinformation. We stay grounded in facts so we can ground our neighbors and our friends in fact, because the COVID is the election. It really is. And the language of lies are easy to track down. Just think of this. Think of these new terminologies. Some of them are new, some of them are not. Is this the language of truth? Is surveillance a medical term? It is becoming one. This is a rebranding of a phrase. Surveillance, as a medical term. Is that the language of truth? When COVID deaths, people reported as COVID deaths, did not die from COVID-19 or even anything like COVID-19, but died instead from a brain hemorrhage, from a concussion. Is that the language of truth? Prior to COVID-19, a case meant someone was sick. They had symptoms. They had a fever or a cough or aches. 90% of the time now, a case means the opposite. The person's fine, doesn't feel the least bit sick, and never will. Is that the language of truth? When you hear news programmers talk about the infection rates going up, it's gibberish. Because they're not testing for infections. They're testing for the presence of any genetic code from a viral molecule. That's it. So they don't talk about infections. If you hear about transmission rates as a result of COVID testing, and you hear them say the transmission rates have gone up, they don't know. Unless they do genetic testing on the people to say, when did they get the virus and from whom? What they mean is, we're finding more cases, which, as you know, when you hear the word cases, replace it in your mind with nothing. Because that's what it means. Then there's the huge lie. I'll try to explain this succinctly. The huge lie was revealed in the article that Scott W. Atlas tweeted, and Twitter blocked his account and demanded that he shut it down. It's from a gentleman with a master's in chemical engineering. I got to go look this up. He has a master's degree in chemistry, human chemistry, biological interactions in the body. And what he's an expert at is the size of things. He is. He's an expert at how chemicals and molecules interact, the size of things, how they're constructed, and how they interact. He wrote an article talking about the ridiculousness of masks from a perspective of someone whose life is led at the molecular level. He studies for a living that which we can't see. That's his area of expertise. And Twitter took down or blocked that article, shut down Atlas's Twitter account. Atlas himself, a physician. Because it was a takedown of masks at the molecular level. Is this the language of truth? This is blocking people from seeing this analysis. And the analysis is important to understand, because one of the other things we're being told is stay home, stay safe. You see, they're going back to the lockdowns. Stay home, stay safe. In this article that Scott W. Atlas, who we had on the show way back in March, tweeted that Twitter attacked, Roger Coops describes why stay home, stay safe is the last thing you want to do. Here's why. The things that we can't see, the molecules of the virus, are stored in masks. Now think of this. We are constantly told that masks are a barrier. Question, can you breathe through the mask? You can. It's not a barrier. Secondly, as he points out in this article, our perception of the world is based upon what we see. But do you know that there are neutrinos that pass through our bodies You think you're fully solid. I think I'm fully solid. And yet you will have neutrinos passing through your bodies at all times. Neutrinos don't have mass. Right? Basically, physicists care about those. But the molecule of a virus that you can't see, do you know what the masks do? They store them. You can't see them, but they store them. Let's say that some molecules of the virus stick together and get globbed up onto a mask. When the water surrounding the viral molecules evaporates, you're left with viral molecules on your mask. They're in your hair. They're on your clothes. If you're around anybody shedding any virus, they're in your dog's fur. They're in your shoes. All these people walking around with woke masks, unless they are fully respirators that partition air coming in through a series of filters and air going out through another series of filters. Unless that's the case, the viral molecules are too small to be stopped by the masks. And if they're globbed together and you still can't see them, you can put tens of millions of them on the tip of your finger and never know they're there. They're stored in the masks, on the clothes, etc. And then they come into the home. Guess where they're most likely to live and stay alive? Many of the surfaces in your house. Guess where they're least likely to stay alive? Walking around outside where they're interrupted, where they're split up. Now, the cold weather makes it easier for them to stay alive. But guess where the number one transmission point of the virus is? Guess where most people catch the virus? In their homes. 50% of transmissions of viruses from one person to another happens in the homes. And yet, what are we doing in swing states? Going back to stay home, stay safe. Stay safe. Let's stay grounded in facts, because all too many news programmers and politicians are not speaking facts around the COVID. This is Todd Herman Show. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show, exclusively coming up at 8:03 a.m. A prosecutor in Washington State wants to force a retired couple with no previous criminal history to attend leftist indoctrination classes. And this retired couple made a bad decision. They decided to vandalize some Black Lives Matter signs left in the public right of way. Not a big deal. Normally in Washington State, people are let go. Charges never filed on vandalism, or let's say $10 million in damage to downtown Seattle or things like that. So he, though, is insistent that they go through leftist indoctrination, which means it's my pleasure to give you some good news on the fronts of the culture war. In fact, it's such good news, I invite you to turn up your radio or your podcast or your earbuds or whatever it is. Alex has surfaced a video from the Tuttle Twins showing us an ad on Facebook and teaching free market values to young
eat
people.
Eat the rich! Eat the rich!
Go play Antifa outside, Yosef. Children are the future.
Schools today aren't teaching the principles of freedom. Good teachers are forced to use terrible curriculum that actually warms kids up to socialism.
Ah, socialism, just as poverty-inducing as always, except now we're calling it democratic socialism. And there's confetti.
The thing is, socialism has failed every time it's been tried, dragging billions into poverty and killing millions. But like my mom said after her fifth marriage, maybe it'll work this time. It didn't. I miss you, Dads.
Today we live in a society where capitalism is a swear word, and all our problems can magically be solved by surrendering more freedoms to the government.
Now it's up to parents to bring freedom back. We need to teach our kids to value limited government, natural law, and individual rights. So for the first time ever, we're creating an animated kids show that does just that. It's called The Tuttle Twin Show, a cartoon that entertains and educates families about the principles of freedom. We'll teach topics like free market capitalism, limited government, principles of peace and prosperity, and how to identify a communist. Nah, I'm just playing. So if you're a capitalist pig who likes spreading principles of freedom for possible profits, invest in The Tuttle Twin Show today. The Tuttle Twins Show will follow the adventures of 11-year-old twins Ethan and Emily Tuttle as they blast through time with their grandma on her wheelchair time machine. They'll learn important lessons of liberty along the way from freedom-loving thinkers throughout history. Our vision for the Tuttle Twins is to mix the humor of shows like Phineas and Ferb, Gravity Falls, and The Simpsons with the education and family-friendliness of The Magic School Bus. What's that show that makes you want to invest more with us? Yeah, it's just like that one.
So I love it. This is the front, one of the fronts on which we need to fight. The other front is reintroducing young people to faith. It's a funny thing. When you begin to really examine faith in God, and I look at it from a Christian perspective. That's who I am. That's my view. That's what I believe to be the truth. You can identify in others that, wait a minute, you want to be God. You want to, in fact, in some ways, be more than God. This prosecutor, you're going to hear about it at 8:03 a.m., exclusively here, this prosecutor in Washington State wants to change the bad think, the thought crime of retired people. He wants to implant his way of thinking in their mind as a criminal consequence of a decision they made to vandalize some Black Lives Matter signs. And he's even found a way to bring a fourth degree assault charge into this after they allegedly committed these acts. You'll hear about it exclusively at 8:03 coming up on the Todd Herman Show. More Seattle Spirit around the corner.